Hey, my name is Lori Kaz, and I'm a dating for marriage coach. I'm here to help you save time and prevent heartbreak so you find your soulmate.
Hold up, lady. What makes you a dating for marriage expert?
There's a lot of different matchmaking, so-called dating gurus out there. But the harsh reality is that most of them have never truly walked a mile in your shoes. I've been where you are, and I'm here to help you get to the other side. The other side is full of love, companionship, and gratitude at finally having the life partner you always dreamed of. I know what it feels like when every date just feels like a waste of time, and your goal of forever seems like an impossible dream. Through all of the many ups and downs of my own dating life and journey to marriage, I discovered the specific mindset, tools, and techniques I needed to master in order to finally receive my Prince Charming. Join me each month with exciting new guests and topics that will inspire you and give you new insight to help you on your dating journey to finding your happily ever after. Hey everyone, it is so good to be back. Welcome to season two of Dating for Marriage. I'm Lori Kaz, your Dating for Marriage coach. My co-host, Hannah Green with Columbus Date Night Guide, has decided to focus on her dating life right now and may come back from time to time as a guest. In the meantime, please continue to follow her on Columbus Date Night Guide. If you are in the Columbus area, she is giving amazing dating tips of places to go out and experiences. But today I am so excited about the episode. This month on my Instagram page, Dating for Marriage Coach, I've been focusing on helping you create your own love story. And each Friday, featuring a different couple to inspire you on your dating journey. Because finding love is different for everyone. There is no one size fits all. So without any further delay, today I have the Kirkendalls joining us. Huge welcome to Charlie and Jareen. They were both on season five of Black Love, Oprah Winfrey's network own. So welcome, welcome guys. So happy to have you
thanks
there.
Thanks for having us.
How are you guys doing?
Good. Thanks for having us. We're excited to be here.
So excited to have you. So just to give everyone a little background, I have the pleasure of knowing you both through my husband, John. Charlie and John at one time worked together when we lived in New York. You guys attended our wedding and we were able to attend your amazing nuptials in Chi-Town.
Let's go.
I feel like after that, you guys drove off into the sunset of California life and you're living your happily ever after.
Yes, we are.
So I just am so curious because I've been watching Black Love. I love all the couples. How was the experience?
It was good. So the way it was filmed, we actually filmed that like right before the pandemic kicked off in January of 2020. So we just, I guess they like hold all their footage and they try to curate stories that go with one another. So season four came out before what we had already filmed and they had decided not to use us for season four, but they ended up using us for season five. But essentially they came to our home and we just had a conversation and their editing is great. I can't say that they edited it terribly. Yeah. And they just kind of ask you questions and it's with a husband and wife. So their names are Cody and Tommy and we kind of sit with them and it's just kind of talking to another couple. So it feels very natural and not interviewee.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. It definitely felt like a very safe space. And I think it came through and resonated on television very well. You know, we're out and about, Lord, you know, we live an active life. And we're in different cities, airport, mask on, mask off. There are people coming up to us like, oh my God, I know you got to like love. I'm like, I'm glad I'm happy in love because there are definitely some eyes out here. But it was a really good experience. And yeah, from, you know, our relationship, you know, we actually use Lord, your veil in our wedding. Obviously, you know that, but I want to make sure your listeners know that. Like, you are family. I've been there from the very beginning when me and Sherry were just dating to proposal to marry. So it's been a great journey.
You guys are like one of my favorite couples because you have such a power dynamic. You are always like in it together, doing new things. So I'm just like so happy to see like how you guys have just transitioned into the Cali lifestyle and doing your thing. It's very inspiring to see this. Do you keep up with any of the other couples still? I'm just curious because there's so many cool couples on there. Did you ever have a chance to meet them?
Yeah, so we met a few of them. But the thing about LA, honestly, is it's so spread out that it's like hard to get together with people because you could live in LA and still live an hour from someone. Yeah. We like bump into people all the time. So we do see the couples.
And, you know, we filmed After Love with some of the couples, which is like the post show for the show live. So we got a chance to interact. And then they do like a Black Love conference annually. I was actually out of town for business, but Shireen went and represented and sat on a panel with some of the other couples. So it seems like, you know, they continue to keep people from previous seasons in the fold. And, you know, we continue to build those relationships.
That's awesome. So I have to ask you guys, because I know the audience is like, they're going to want to know. Did you have a chance to meet Miss Oprah Winfrey?
Oh, man. Listen, everybody in the world would know if I met Oprah.
I am sure Oprah is owner of own and name only because I'm sure she's not the one day-to-day vetting her shows. I wish you'd have met Oprah. But
no. You will one day. I know you guys will be on there one day, like Soul Sunday. I can see it. Soul Sunday for sure. So, you know, watching the show, because I know I'll have like some listeners who've also watched. I know you guys, you met through work, right? You were working in the same company. Yeah. So crazy. So after you kind of met through work, how long was it before you guys kind of like had your first kind of initial date? She's laughing. I know you guys
are trying to answer this. Yeah. I want Shireen to answer this. Go ahead.
So we started a company together. It was like a rotational program for students right out of college. So we were in that program for 3 years. So we knew each other because it was like a small class. And our third year, we ended up getting placed in the same group. So Charles worked in Jersey and I worked in New York. If you're not from the tri-state area, Jersey and New York are super close to each other. People commute back and forth all the time. So Charles was placed in Jersey. So his whole 3 years, he worked out of the Jersey office. And my first 2 years, I worked out of the New York office. So I didn't really see him that often. Like we knew each other. We'd see each other at events, but that was pretty much it.
On Facebook, let's be clear. I would see your posts on Facebook.
Poke me before poking became inappropriate.
Don't these
not in Facebook or in real life. Just let's keep our hands to ourselves. So we ended up getting placed in the same group together. And at that time, our group had actually lost budget. So we started in that role in like September. And literally, they were like, we have no more budget for the rest of the year. But y'all got to come to work every day and pretend you're working to get your paycheck. So it was the most nuts thing in the world. Now that I'm thinking back on it, I'm like, this was not a very good use of resources. But yeah, so we were sitting in that team and we just kind of like, we were going to lunch, we were getting breakfast, we were going on walks, we were talking. We had to kill 8 hours every single day. So we just got to talking about life and family and values. And he was telling me about he was in a relationship. He was telling me about his relationship. I was single and dating. I was telling him about my crazy date stories and like weekends of like partying with my friends. And I guess from there, Charles started Charles started to have feelings. He was someone else's boyfriend, so I had no feelings. I thought he was a very nice guy. But yeah, I would probably say, what do you think? Like maybe a year into us working there or 8 months into us working there?
No, it was September when we started working together. And it was January in which I told you that I started to like you. And you shut me down in January.
He knows the dates.
Oh, I know. Wow. I know the dates. And me and the other young lady ended up breaking up in March. And so it wasn't until April because she made me beg her for a date even after that. But I'm never going to let that down, Lori. I just want to be clear. I'm now 10 years into a relationship, 5 years married with this woman, and I'm still angry that it took a month for her to allow me to take her on a date.
He had been with this girl since college. I do not like mess. And I was like, this feels very messy. And like, we'll go on a date and then you'll get back with her. And then I got to come to work every day and see you. And I don't want... any part of
this is an important conversation to be having, especially on this platform, because it's really not about how you start, it's about how you finish. And I knew in my heart of hearts that you were, through those conversations, through our relationship building, I was like, this is the woman for me. And I went after what I wanted. And the rest of the system, so at least I was
Wow. So does that answer the question? You knew that she was the one right then. You didn't even have to think about it. You knew, just knowing.
I know.
Okay.
I, however, needed a little more time.
So what, when do you think it was like, hey, this is the guy for me. This is my man.
Well, we went on dates and like, he was so nice. And I had dated a lot of people. So I had like, I was like, I've seen a lot of guys and like how they interact with women. And Charles was just so thoughtful. And like his dates were just so thoughtful. And I was like, wow, this guy's really trying to make me like him when I'm trying not to. But I will say, as a woman, I had my eyes wide open. So although he had a situation that I was like, I don't know how that will end. Yeah. I was like, I'm going into this understanding that I could walk away heartbroken, or it could not work out, or they could get back together. I knew every situation, and I did not have on rose-colored glasses in any way, shape, or form. And also, Charles was very honest with me. He told me what was going on. He would tell me when she would text him. He told me when she tried to solicit him to get back with him. So in my head, I was like, he's being honest, and I have my eyes wide open. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But if it's meant to be, why not take the chance? Like, people lie to you and you're in a relationship and you don't know you're being lied to. I would rather at least someone be upfront with me. And if my feelings get hurt, that's on me. That's not on the other person. I've made my decision and I've chosen to be here. So my big thing was like, Charles never took away my choice by being untruthful or like being like underhanded or giving me lies of omission. Like, he was like, here is all of it. It's kind of messy. It's ugly. I hope you still want me. So to me, that made him more attractive. I think we sometimes like watch rom-coms and it's like, love is so clean, or it's like, it's kind of messy, but then they put a bow on it at the end, and like, life is not like that. So I was just always like, don't be dumb. And if you're being dumb, be dumb on purpose, like be dumb with your eyes open. It's like, okay, girl, you're being a little dumb, but you know that. So
wow, you're wise beyond your years. I tried to tell you,
boy. I said she's gonna just do her thing in this platform.
That's I'm telling you. If more people could hear this, I mean, I just want to get this out there to everyone, because you know, it's so hard. Vulnerability is so hard when you're trying to like, you know, do this. And I really commend you guys. Amazing. Yeah. So I have to ask, so what were the qualities, right, that really attracted you to Shireen, Charlie?
Wow. Qualities. So there were a number of qualities. And just one last piece before I move into that.
Please.
The love. And she never had a moment. They ask all the time, like, because I was able to identify the moment I knew I was in love with her. Like, it was twice. I knew I was in love with her and I knew I wanted to marry her. And her, it wasn't like a moment, but I felt like she loved me when it was no longer convenient for us to be together. She was going to grad school. We were going to be fully long distance. We were poor. It's before I even started working with John. I need to have a job. So I had nothing. I was like, how are we going to see each other? And we wanted to make it work. That's when I really like felt like, okay, she really loves me, because this is like crazy to continue this relationship when it's no longer convenient. But the quality that made me just like fall head over ears, A, there was a definite level of physical attraction there from the very beginning when I met her, even before I was able to like work with her. But that was just like such a small, minor piece in the grand scheme of things after I got to know her. And what really stood out and resonated, what I told people at that point in junction of my life, Shireen's 1 year older than me, but I said that she is an adult. I was like she made me feel like I needed to grow up. And the person that I am now at 34 years old and meeting her at 22, dating her at 24, I would not be this person without her influence on my life. And just like her go-for attitude, coming from the Bronx, not having much, in the same similar situation that I was in for Chicago, I was perfectly fine. I said, I made it to an investment bank. I'm living in New York City, making this little bit of money, I'm good. Like, it's much better than I thought I was gonna do. And she's like, no, I need to go to grad school. No, I wanna switch careers, so I'm gonna go get, you know, this certification. Oh, I'm gonna apply to these different jobs. And I was like, wait, maybe, am I a loser in this situation? And she, like, forced me to get my shit together. And that was one of the great, great qualities of like her ambition, her adult-like persona. And then secondarily, it's just like, we align so much on family life. We care about our family. We care about our friends. We do for our family. We do for our friends. We prioritize them, i.e. this podcast. I'm like, yo, if Lori reaching out, I'm doing it. Now, somebody just reached out to me, Brandon, I don't got time, Lori. But we align on being that type of way and showing up to our people. And that made her so much more attractive. And then lastly, like, as much as she said that I'm thoughtful, and I definitely was when I was trying to get her, Lori, I was putting on a full court press.
Yeah.
I felt that same type of just like vibe and want from her. And I'll give you a tangible example. In our first date, we went to go see a movie. It was Think Like a Man, probably the worst first date movie you could ever go on. Like, she was probably, she was picking which one of the guys I was. But besides, I like played a little game because I was trying to be flirtatious. And I was like, yo, this preview is rated PG-13. You win the game. And if you win, I got to kiss you. But if it's rated R, I win the game. And you got to kiss me. She was like, this ain't a game I want to play. What type of game is this? So I laughed it off. I'm just staring straight forward. And the preview happens. And it's one where it's, I guess, rated R, but she was supposed to kiss me. I didn't look her way at anything. And it could have just been a very awkward moment. But then she leaned in and gave me a quick pass. She gave me a quick kiss. And I was like, yo, you're a flirty girl yourself, too. And it was like those things that just kept it falling. And even now, still, she gives me like these little moments where I'm like, you're so cute. But yeah, so it's the adultness, it's the cuteness, it's the approach to her family and friends that my ambition.
I love
you can't
that.
Top Ashley. And I know I'm amazing. You can't top the way I just described you, bro.
I love this. You know, I'm a
you're nuts.
Love. Oh my goodness. It's so good. So good. You already kind of told me what you loved about him and his qualities. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you guys, wow. So cool. So I know you guys have been married now for about 7 years, right? 7 years. Because I think we were...
You're going on six.
Because we got married after you and John.
Yes. 6 years. It feels longer sometimes. Right? Not in a bad way. It just is like, you know, it's home.
Yeah.
And how long did you guys date before you got married? Like, how long was it in total?
Oh, well, we were young. So we dated for 3 years.
That's awesome.
But Charles will tell you, I used to tell him, are you going to marry me? Because if you're not, let me know so that we can break up and I could go find the man who wants to marry me because you're blocking him. He can't see past you. So yeah. I need you to get out of the way.
See, I like that you said this to him because I feel like so many women I know, they want to get married, but they're like afraid to tell their guy.
They don't talk about it.
Yeah. They need to talk about it.
I tell my female friends, men are not afraid to ask us for sex. They are not afraid that that will turn us off. So why are you afraid to say you want to get married? If that turns him off, he's not the guy for you. Really?
Amen. I cannot stress that enough. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for bringing up that point.
I'm like, guys they will tell you, I don't want a relationship. I just want to have relations. And they are not afraid. Because they're like, that's fine. If you say no, somebody else will say yes. So women should approach men the same way. It's like, I want to get married. I'm not saying I want to get married to you, but my end goal is marriage. So if you're not interested, I will go ask someone else who will eventually say yes.
Hello, ladies. Listen to that. I mean, honestly, you have to put it out there. Do not hold back. I love this.
And to that point, it was a delicate balance because, you know, obviously, I would say women in doing that, the goal is to not make the man feel pressure. And it wasn't like something she brought up every week, like every 2 weeks, like, oh, you going to marry me? You going to marry me?
Of course.
Another tangible example was we introduced my brother to his wife. And while we were dating. So we were dating already, introduced them, they got engaged, and did they get married?
Yeah. Their son was at our wedding.
Wow. They got married before I even proposed. So, you know, at that point, people were like, is Charles really serious about this girl? Like they got in, they got a couple together and still he hasn't proposed to her, but it was just like, I wanted to wait for the right time. I wanted to be 100% sure. And I also gave her signal to some degree, like, I am very serious about you. There was nothing about our lives that made her think that I wasn't fully invested and committed. Granted, it took a longer path for me to feel comfortable with the idea of saying, hey, I want to be with you for the rest of my life. I on people's timeline on that decision, it's just going to be different. That is the biggest decision I feel like as a man, most men have to make. But when I got to grips with that, we were good.
See, I like that you're bringing up that point because you don't want to make a man feel pressured. That's very true. Yeah, it is. And I also admire people who take their time and date and really get to know each other. You know, divorce is like scary today. It's still very high and it's something to play around with. So kudos to both of you for like, you know, being patient and waiting and making sure it was the right time. So with that being said, how did you pop the question?
Wow. So for the question pop, I did an annual charity event. She was living in Atlanta at the time. So I wanted to convince her to come to New York. And I wanted to make it a big spectacle. That's the only way I know how to do things. And so I asked her to come up for my annual charity event. And
no, you didn't. You asked my best friend.
Sorry, I knew. Thank you for that. Thank you for fact checking me. I knew that if I just asked her to come and I did it every year and I never cared if she came or not, she would then get signaled that something special might happen there. So I asked her best friend, who had just gotten proposed to request that she come to New York to Rain Shop. And it just so happened that my charity event was the same weekend. So she flew back to go Rain Shopping, but then would obviously attend the charity event. We had our entire family fly in. I put together a video. I'm going to send you the link so that you can see it. And in the middle of the charity event, we started playing a video, which was just like a review of our relationship. And it led up in the video to a point where it was like, Miss Shireen Barnes. And then I walked out and then they said, will you marry me? And then I got on one knee live. It was crazy. But all of the things that I had gone through, lost a job, she supported me in a career change into recruiting, us being low distance. I like detail all of that in the video, which is what led me to the point of feeling comfortable to marry her. But that's what I'm saying. That path that she was patient with me on made me feel so secure in that moment. And so, I mean, it was a very touching video. And then thankfully she said yes. That would have been very embarrassing in front of everybody as she said, no, Lori.
So romantic. It's so romantic. Oh my, were you like, oh my goodness, Shireen? Were you like, oh my God? Did you have a feeling something was off and something was coming?
I had a feeling because Charles alerted me. I had not had a feeling until he literally alerted me like days before. He was just being suspicious. And I was like, what's wrong with you? But also, so people who don't know, Charles and John worked in sales essentially together. So Charles was always telling me about deals that fell through. So in my head, he had no money because all the deals kept falling through.
I don't miss those days.
I was like, he's not going to propose because he's broke. Like, he doesn't have any money. All he tells me every day is about how he lost a deal, not how he won. So I guess he was making the deals, getting the money, but then not sharing the highs. He was only sharing the lows with me. So right. I had very little perspective on his financial situation. And we were long distance, so I didn't see him every day. That gave me even less insight into like his actual day to day because like we only got to talk on the phone. So yes, Charles, he was very good in the lead up of like not letting, there were like a lot of breadcrumbs that threw me off, but then there were things that made me think it was going to happen. So I kind of went both ways.
That's, yeah, I hear that. I had something similar. So I know it's like when they start acting weird, ladies, FYI, something's going on. So what do you guys think the best part of being married is? I always like to get people's perspective on that.
You want to go back?
I was looking for our video. I found it.
Yeah, send it to Laura.
Yes.
So I think the best part of being married is just getting to do life with someone. I think we were talking to a friend today and he's telling us about his relationship and like having a tough conversation. And I feel like it's the joy of like sharing beautiful moments with this person and always wanting to share those things with them. Like if I have a good day, I want to tell Charles. If I have a bad day, I want to tell Charles. Like either kind of day, I want to tell him. But also I think it's like the ability to grow with that person and have critical conversations and not be afraid of them giving you feedback or them saying they don't like something about you and knowing that that doesn't mean they don't love you, but that they want you to change this one thing. So I think it's a very nuanced thing and it's very hard to intertwine your life with a whole other human. And I kind of talked about that a little bit on Black Love, like me sacrificing and moving to San Francisco, even though I didn't want to. But I always believe like what is good for one is good for the greater. So how do I take my ego out of it and take myself out of it and say, but will this ultimately be good for our family? Whether your family is you and your children or just you and your partner, will it ultimately put you both in a better place? So I guess I love that it's not easy. Every day is different. Every day is a challenge.
Yeah.
Some days it's like just very mundane and like taking out the trash and giving the kid a bath and making dinner. And other days it's like, oh my God, we had so much fun today. Like we went out, we went to dinner. Like that was so, so I just love that it's like, it's doing the highs and the lows with someone. And I just think it's so interesting. Sometimes we talk about stuff and like, I have different memories that are super important to me. And he has memories that I'm like, I don't even remember that happening. But it's just like, someone becomes so ingrained in your life that it's like, I can't imagine doing life without you. So I think that's like one of my favorite things. It's not easy, but it's definitely something that's very beautiful if you put in the work to make it work.
That's so well said. I've never heard somebody say that so well. Oh my goodness. You like want to cry. It's like, if that doesn't want to make you get married, I don't know what will.
And don't believe rom-coms. They're a lie.
Yeah. That is not real life. Oh my goodness. Total lie. And with that being said, what do you think is the hardest part, right?
Doing life with someone.
Yeah, doing the right
part. Is the exact same thing. Like I married my best friend, and that is the best part about this. Like my homie I get to spend every single day with, but also my homie is the person I get to spend every day with. So you get all sides of each person and everything. So it's just the ego. You're like putting your ego to the side of the most challenging part of marriage, like choosing peace or choosing the other person over your own self. And we're all to some degree selfish. And it's that sacrifice that again makes it work. Like there are days when I really want the W, I'm like, I'm gonna sacrifice today. And I'm sure there are days and moments where she wants that W so bad, wants to be selfish. But she's like, I'm gonna let him have it. And that balance is never 100%. It's always 90-10, 80-20, 70-30, 50-50, 40-60. And it's the pick me up from the other half that's kind of balancing that scale that continues to make it go.
Right. It's, you couldn't say it any better. It's like, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? Mm-hmm. It always comes back to that.
I want to be right so much.
Charles has to choose happiness every day.
Hey, we all do, right? All do. So Shireen, what were some of the biggest dating challenges when you were dating? Like before, like when you're like going on all those bed dates, sharing.
Gosh.
It was before she starts, I called Shireen when we were just friends and just like sitting next to each other. Work. I called Shireen a serial dater. And I want you to go from that perspective, take it back. You've been out the game 10 years. The serial dater, Shireen. Tell about the methodology there.
I was a believer in I'll go out with you at least once. Like what's one dinner or coffee or like walk in the park? Like what's one hangout session? Because I may not like you like in a group setting it's maybe because I don't know you and I don't know the things that you value. So I always say like, let's have one-on-one interaction. And if you impress me enough, maybe we'll get to two, but if not, and maybe I won't impress you and you're like, you're not who I thought I was and we can move on. But dating was hard because dating is hard.
Yeah.
And you just want to skip over the hard stuff and just get to your person. And it's like, you have to kiss so many frogs and that can be so discouraging. But I tell my friends, like I met Charles before apps, but I went out all the time. Like to me, you're never going to meet your person going to the grocery store and going home. Again, life is not a rom-com. He's not going to bump into you in the salad dressing aisle. And you guys both reach for the Caesar and all of a sudden you're in love. Because first of all, if you talk to me while I'm grocery shopping, I'm definitely going to think you're a creep and get the hell away from me. So,
Yeah. No, it's so true. It is so true.
So I like went out with friends. I went out on dates. Like I was just out because to me, that is how you're going to meet someone. You're not going to meet someone just going home and going to work every day. And now that we live in virtual world and some people are fully remote, you'll definitely never meet anyone if you never leave your house. So even when I didn't want to go out, I would push myself to go out, meet people. And honestly, along the way, I met guys who, like, I didn't date, but, like, turned out to be really good friends or just really good men that, like, I still wanted to keep in contact with, that I'm still friends with now, even though I'm married, they're married. So to me, that was, like, something that was super big to me. It was just, like, put yourself out there, go out on a date just once. It gets super discouraging, it gets super tiring, but kind of, like, push yourself out of your comfort zone and meet people, because you might end up just, if you don't make a love connection, maybe you make a work connection, maybe you make a business connection. Like, there are other connections other than love. And maybe it's like, that's a friend who helps you 5 years from now. So I was just always like, well, what's meeting someone new? That doesn't hurt me in any way. And then if it goes bad, at least you got a story to tell.
Exactly. I say this all the time. Action, just do it. Go once. Amazing. I love it. What about you, Charlie? What do you think what the biggest dating challenges for you are from a, you know, a male's perspective?
And dating challenges were for me just
spending money on dates.
No, that's an expensive job. That's an expensive job. Knowing who to, like, wine and dine, if you will. You know what I mean? Like, because it can get very expensive if you're a serial dater as the man. But, like, what the pre-vetting is, like, is it just solely you just want the physical, the best looking person and shooting your shot there? And again, this is pre-dating apps and just swiping left. I've never actually used any of that. So I have no idea what that world is like. But, like, just knowing where to invest your time. And I was definitely investing my time in women, but it was luckily a woman that led me to invest my time in other things to really continue to grow my career. But from my perspective, now being, like, a somewhat successful person, like, that is something that is attractive to women. And I wish I really realized that in my 20s, that if I was focused and ambitious and a lot of myself, and those are qualities that I did not really have yet, and it was something that I developed over the course of me and being together, that I would have opened up the flow. Not unless I'm happy, you know? But I'm just saying, like, if you're focused on yourself being your best version of yourself as a man, that is going to lead to women like a Shireen wanting to, you know, be interested in you. So I would just say I should have, at that point, instead of just trying to chase women, like, chase the ambition and chase my career and chase those goals, and that would have brought the women along. And that's how I see my homies who are in their 30s who are now trying to settle down, like, that's worth it.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. What else would you say to, like, encourage singles right now on their dating journey? Like, because I thought, like, you guys gave challenges, but you also gave encouragement with ideas. Is there anything else you would say? Hey,
my thing is it's like, it's never perfect. It's never going to be the right time. It's never going to be the right situation. We were long distance. And this is just maybe even more life advice than just dating. Like, it's never going to be perfect. So you're waiting for that perfect moment or that ideal thing to happen to make you want to go on this date or make you want to pursue a relationship with somebody that you're just kind of casually talking to. This is never going to be perfect. So you just kind of have to jump and put yourself out there and take the risk. So it's just like, don't be afraid. Like, it's going to be a learning lesson. Yeah. Me and Shireen relocated across the country and she's 8 months pregnant. Like, that's nuts. Who takes a new job and moves across the country away from your mom and family when you're about to have your first child? But it was like those type of leaps that just prepared our lives in ways that we could have never, ever imagined. And me shooting my shot at 22 years old with a colleague, which is completely HR inappropriate, taking that leap. I would not be married right now if I just was scared to share how I'm feeling. Like, I'm feeling this way, and I'm going to be man enough, and I'm going to own enough to say, hey, I think you're amazing, and I think I like you. I did not do that when I'm here today. So you can't be afraid. You got to go for what you want.
Absolutely. I agree. Yeah.
And I would say, I think people sometimes have, like, super unrealistic, like, want lists. So I would say edit your non-negotiables list, because everything can't be non-negotiable. It can't be like, he's 6'8", a millionaire. Like, you gotta make your list of, like, negotiables and non-negotiables. Like, my non-negotiables was, like, they have to believe in God. They have to care about family.
Right.
But, like, something physical, well, maybe we can make that a negotiable. Like, maybe if they aren't as tall as I would want them to be, I'm not going to say, I'm not going to go on a date with you. So I think just being open to love in all packages and in all forms, even when it isn't perfect, can lead to a perfect love story I think sometimes we look at Instagram, which is people's like highlight reels. They're not showing you when they're having arguments or when they're having a bad day with each other or when they've been like in their pajamas for 5 days. So we look at people's highlight reels and we think that's how a relationship would be, but all they're doing is sharing their wins, but everyone has losses. Everyone has lows. So figure out which lows and which things you can negotiate on that maybe aren't what in your mind your ideal mate had, but you're willing to bend. Don't break, bend for a few things.
I'm 6'3", by the way. She did not have to negotiate on height. I am 6'3".
I did not negotiate on height. I was very lucky in that I got physically a package I was happy with.
Yeah, but what you're saying, it's so true. You know, working with different people, that's like the looks thing, talking to them about trying to just keep an open mind. It's challenging for them. Mm-hmm. So this is, I think, the most amazing advice anyone could give. So thank you. Thank you for that. So I know you guys are always busy. You know, like I said, you're the ultimate power couple, constantly working on the next big thing. Any new projects you're working on that you want to share, promote right now? I know this weekend you announced something super exciting.
And the biggest project, the project baby, project baby number two.
Yes, we are literally cooking a human right now. So yes, that's the biggest project that we're working on this year. I think the other project is getting our house together. We are so blessed. We bought a house last year and we just now have to buy furniture and decor and like interior construction. So that is another big project. But I feel like the year is just kicking off. So I know Charles has some things in the works that aren't quite ironed out.
Yeah.
I throw parties outside of work. And if you ever get a chance to experience an R&B house party, it's going to be a vibe. It is a place that is a safe space to find love. It's around R&B music, which is the love music. When we tour, we're going international, got a lot of stuff happening there. But most importantly, like, you know, I keep the fam and the focus on, you know, that first. And I'm so happy. I have an amazing son, CJ, and he's about to be a big brother. So that is my main project that I'm working on right now, is just integrating this next one to the fold.
You guys had the best baby announcement I've ever seen. Ever. I mean, oh my goodness. It was
stole the show. CJ stole the show.
It was all Charles's vision. I let him run with that.
And CJ's 5 now, right? He's 5.
Yeah, he's
5. Oh my goodness. This is the perfect timing. I could not be more happy for you guys. I can't wait to hear and see all the things to come. So thank you. Everybody. Everybody is going to be excited to hear this episode. And to all you singles, don't give up. So until next time, tune in though. In March, I have a very special guest with a new speed dating app that you're going to want to try out.
Thanks, Lori.
Until next time, this is Lori Kaas with Dating for Marriage. Remember, you don't have to spend your best years paying your dating dues.